The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. We subscribe to 5, and they come on their own schedules. This from Magnolia, Extra, Extra, and Noteworthy. Our note on the theme for their, this is their winter magazine, Why Exhale? Our definition, the act of letting go, expectant of the peace that follows. The world often asks us to ramp everything up this time of year. But what if instead of hustling through the holidays, we settled in for slower moments, stayed present for the people and traditions we count as sacred? We were inspired by the challenge of an unhurried holiday season during a time of year that often flies past in a flash. We want this physical act, an exhale, to be our posture of choice as we approach the end of this year and the beginning of the next, by taking a pause, letting go of what we've carried all year, and settling into the wonder that's unfolding right in front of us. And in the hot seat with Joanna Gaines, publisher of Magnolia, is there a tradition you're starting, stopping, or continuing this year? Her answer, I want to bring in a few new recipes to add into our traditional Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. Question, it started feeling like the holidays when... And she filled in the blank. All the kids are home. Bing Crosby Christmas music is on the record player, and my holiday candle is burning. Something you're looking forward to in the new year? And she said, I'm excited to read the Bible from cover to cover for the first time. And what are you buying from Magnolia this season for your house? Her answer, 12 nights candle, enchanted forest lumbar pillow, an aspen throw, and enchanted forest plate. All available on magnolia.com, I'm sure. From Woman's World, ask Susie Orman. She is a money expert. The holidays are coming up and my kids want gifts I simply can't afford. What do I say without disappointing them? And her answer, I have a question for you. Can you remember what you got last year for the holidays? Years ago, when I was on the Today Show, I decided to test this out. I took the cameras with me, and we walked down Fifth Avenue in New York City asking people, you have 10 seconds to answer. What did you get last year for the holidays? Adults, kids, grandparents, we stopped them all. Almost everyone struggled. If they did try to answer, it was with hesitation. They would say, I think it was, or maybe it was, but no one was sure. Out of about 50 people, only one woman responded with confidence. She smiled and said, yes, my husband gave me a foot rub. Think about that. The one memory that stood out wasn't a gadget, jewelry, or a toy. It was a gift that cost nothing but came straight from the heart. That's why I want you to hear me. If you can't afford the big ticket item, don't apologize. Instead, make this the year you flip the script from getting to giving. For more than 25 years, back when my nieces and nephews were little, we had one holiday rule in our family. You can only give a gift that is handmade. Our nieces and nephews grew up excited about the things we could all make, not the things money could buy. That tradition taught them early that love isn't measured by money. It's measured by thought, creativity, and effort. Today, their holidays are still about giving, as they now volunteer at Ronald McDonald House, bringing comfort to families with sick children. Here's an idea you can try with your own kids. Have them each gather, 10 items they no longer use, like old toys, clothes, and books. Put them in the middle of the living room. Ask them to guess what each item cost and write it down. Total it up, then ask, would you rather have this pile of things or that same amount in cash? Of course they'll say the cash. And that's when you explain exactly. All this money was already spent. And now these things don't mean anything to us anymore. But if we give them away, they can mean something to someone else. The real value isn't in keeping stuff, it's in letting it bring joy again. Then as a family, choose where to give. And after you've done that, talk with them about how it felt. That reflection is where the lesson takes root. One day, when they're in your shoes, they won't hesitate. They'll already know that giving is the greatest gift of all. From Good Housekeeping, Smile Solutions, they're award winners for your mouth. Their number one top toothpaste, Banish Plaque with Colgate's High Density Floss Tip Bristles. I'm sorry, top toothbrush. High Density Floss Tip Bristles, which get into the gum line and between teeth. The lab results, all testers raved that the brush cleaned teeth effectively and made brushing convenient and said they would recommend it to others. It's the Colgate Total Active Prevention Foaming Clean Toothbrush, $5 at Walmart. Next, a power toothpaste. Crest's newest paste goes beyond removing surface stains. It dissolves the bonds that lock stains into the teeth. The lab results, this formula received the best score among whitening toothpaste for making teeth appear whiter after 3 weeks of use. And that is the Crest 3D White Deep Stain Remover Daily Toothpaste, $13. Available many places, but at Target is where the $13 price is. And a revolutionary rinse. Finally, from Listerine, there's an effective mouthwash that won't irritate sensitive teeth and gums. All users gave it the highest scores for long-lasting freshness and great flavor and their overall satisfaction. It's the Listerine Clinical Solutions Sensitive Teeth Mouthwash. $9 on Amazon. Looks like a pretty big bottle for $9. From Real Simple, they pooled readers on this. Is it okay to re-gift a present? Everyone has thoughts. We collected yours, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. So the readers obviously fell into two different schools of thought. You've got the, of course, re-gift away group, and the definitely not, don't be a monster. All right. The, of course, re-gift people say re-gifting is a must. The gift should circulate until it lands in the place it belongs. Someone else said, if I already have a $75 candle that's not my scent, why not give it to someone who will love it? That said, if it's crap, it gets tossed. And someone else said, you are free to do whatever you want with gifts given to you. Use, donate, re-gift. And the definitely not school of thought, three opinions. I prefer to explain the situation and ask the next recipient if they would like the item. That way it doesn't feel deceptive, as if you chose this thing specifically for them. Someone else, unless re-gifting is the theme of the party, a new gift is what the person should receive. And no, give to charity if you can abide it. The experts say, absolutely, says financial therapist Lindsay Brian Podvin, author of The Financial Anxiety Solution. If you have something you know someone else will really enjoy, use, and make space for, wouldn't it be generous to pass that gift along? While you could just offer the item to someone or donate it, regifting saves you money and a shopping trip. Regifting is also a way of keeping things out of landfills, says etiquette expert Elaine Schwann, founder of the Schwann School of Protocol in Carlsbad, California. Before you bust out the wrapping paper, our experts advise following some guidelines. For starters, the item needs to be brand new and in its unopened packaging, says Diane Gottsman, owner of the Protocol School of Texas in San Antonio. Check for signs of the previous gift giver, such as a hidden gift tag or receipt, she adds. And don't re-gift within the same circle of people. A sticky note can help you keep track. Finally, re-gift with intention. You're not just unloading something you don't want onto someone else, Gottsman says. It's still a personal gesture, and you have to keep the recipient top of mind. What if someone asks where you got the gift, or the original giver asks how you're enjoying it? Don't lie, Swan says, but it's okay to deflect the conversation. Try a simple, "It just made me think of you," or "Thank you again for that candle. Did I tell you my grandma came for the holidays?" Subtly shift the focus away from the item itself, and you'll protect the person's feelings, which is its own kind of gift. From Woman's World, reduce stress by hugging a pillow. When you need to dial down tension, take a spare pillow from the linen closet and give it a gentle squeeze. You'll feel calmer in minutes. Scientists in Singapore found that hugging something soft quickly quiets beta and gamma waves in the brain, putting you at ease. Or you can fill a storage bin. Decluttering your home ushers in tranquility, according to a new study from England. Researchers say simply seeing clear open spaces, like a clutter-free kitchen, sends calming signals to your brain, spurring a sense of soothing peace. From Woman's World, question, after taking antibiotics, I got a nasty case of diarrhea from C. diff. How do I avoid a repeat? C. diff, which is Clostridium difficile, is a species of bacteria that often lives naturally in the intestines without causing any harm. But taking broad-spectrum antibiotics like amoxicillin, ciprofloxacin, and clindamycin can kill off the good gut bacteria that keep C. diff under control, raising the risk of infections and symptoms such as diarrhea, bloating, and pain. And recurrence is common. According to Korean research, a first infection raises the risk of a second one by 40%. Boosting the levels of good gut flora is crucial for fending off a repeat infection. To do, I advise enjoying 1 to 2 daily servings of foods like kefir, kombucha, Greek yogurt, sauerkraut, and kimchi, which are high in beneficial bacteria. And add bananas, artichokes, onions, or garlic to your daily menu. They contain inulin, a prebiotic fiber that acts as a fertilizer for gut infection-fighting microorganisms in the gut. Scaling back on sugar is another smart step, since findings in the journal Nature Genetics suggest diets high in sugar help C. diff to thrive. If you need to take a broad-spectrum antibiotic in the future, I advise supplementing with 10 to 20 billion CFUs of a probiotic yeast called S. boulardii, which combats the growth of C. diff. And in a JAMA study, Journal of American Medicine, people who took it for 8 weeks during and after antibiotic treatment halved their risk of C. diff recurrence. From Woman's World, a book club recommendation. Joanne Harris is the author, H-A-R-R-I-S. She wrote the hit 1999 novel, Chocolat, which was adapted into a film by the same name. Her new book, Vianne, V-I-A-N-N-E, begins 6 years before the chocolatiery opens. So it's a prequel to the book Chocolat. After Sylviane scatters her mother's ashes, she arrives in Marseille for a fresh start. Working at a bistro under Guy Lacquière, she discovers the joy of cooking and romance and the magic of chocolate. But a looming conspiracy threatens to unravel everything she's built. And from Real Simple, Smart Cookie. Your oven is not to be trusted, says Dan Pelosi, the food guy behind the wildly popular Instagram account at Grossy Pelosi, G-R-O-S-S-Y-P-E-L-O-S-I. Maybe it's Grossy Pelosi. And author of the new cookbook, Let's Party, Recipes and Menus for Celebrating Every Day. I'll spell his last name, P-E-L-O-S-I. He throws an epic cookie swap with dozens of bakers every year, so he would know. Chances are the temperatures on your oven display, not actually the temperature inside the oven. For a more accurate read, he suggests using an internal oven thermometer, which you can pick up for a few bucks, probably on Amazon. Also, the temperature inside can vary from top to bottom and front to back. So if you're seeing uneven baking of your cookies, rotate the pans halfway through baking time. If you're still worried about oven wonkiness, Pelosi says to bake one cookie before you bake them all. This gives you a chance to make time or temperature adjustments without wasting a whole bunch of cookies. He is a smart cookie. From Good Housekeeping, share the love. This is some tips here after you make a big meal. Don't let leftovers go to waste. Here's the right way to pack up your party. 1. Get creative. Saving cake, place slices on the inverted lid, then top it with the container so all the icing doesn't wind up on the container. 2. Hold the dressing. If you're making a big salad, don't toss everything into the dressing. This way, guests can take home extra greens without worrying that they'll be wilted. 3. Have to-go containers handy. Set out disposable tins or remind guests to bring their own so everyone can take a bit of the magical meal home with them. And 4, pick oven-safe vessels for short-term storage. Keep your casseroles, stuffings, pastas in smaller baking dishes that will be ready to pop into the oven to reheat whenever you're ready to eat them. And from Magnolia, go ahead, stay in bed. For most of us, breakfast in bed sounds nice in theory, but can feel out of touch with reality. Indeed, with the potential for spills, the demands of the day, and for some of us little ones who call us up and out bright and early, it isn't the most practical option. The world often demands that we be fast and efficient, but what if savoring a meal in bed was a small act of rebellion? A way of pushing back the pace and delaying the practicality required of everyday life in favor of a slower, more nourishing start. It doesn't need to be complicated. You can whip up something simple and delicious that won't require you to be out of bed for more than a few minutes. Imagine how refreshing an aimless, unstructured morning will feel in the midst of a full calendar. So consider this your official invitation to stay in bed. Location: cozy covers. Dress code: the comfiest PJs you own. Rambunctious kids or grandkids are welcome, and please linger as long as you'd like. You might find that at the end of the meal, you're full in more ways than one. And they offer this recipe. Simple is more. Make this granola a day or two before your breakfast in bed, so that when the morning comes, all you have to do is sprinkle a little on top of your meal of choice, be it yogurt, bruleed grapefruit, or whatever you'd like. Salted maple granola. Prep time is 5 minutes, baking time 35, and this makes 6 cups. We need 3 cups of rolled oats, 1 cup chopped pecans, 1 cup toasted coconut chips, 1/2 cup of pumpkin seeds or pepitas, 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt, 1/2 cup packed light brown sugar, 1/3 cup pure maple syrup, and 1/3 cup extra virgin olive oil. Preheat oven to 300. In a large bowl, stir together oats, pecans, coconut, pumpkin seeds, and salt. Combine brown sugar, maple syrup, and olive oil in a small saucepan. Heat over low until sugar has just dissolved. Then stir the warm liquid into the oats mixture until well coated. Line a large rimmed baking sheet with parchment paper or a silicone baking mat. Spread granola evenly on the prepared baking sheet. Bake, stirring occasionally, 35 to 40 minutes or until granola is dry and lightly golden. Remove granola from the oven, let cool to room temp, transfer to an airtight container. And store in an airtight container in a cool, dry place for up to 2 weeks. From Women's World, Sandra Lee's Cranberry Relish. You start with a canned sauce, so that's good. We need 1 cup chopped pecans, 2 16-ounce cans of whole berry cranberry sauce, 1.5 teaspoons grated orange zest, 1/3 of a cup fresh orange juice, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon. In a small non-stick skillet, heat chopped pecans over medium-low heat, stirring often for about 5 minutes or until fragrant and toasted. Scrape out of pan onto a plate to stop cooking. In a small saucepan, combine cranberry sauce, orange zest, orange juice, lemon juice, and cinnamon over medium-low heat. Bring to a boil, reduce heat to a simmer, and cook for 5 minutes, stirring occasionally. Remove from heat and stir in pecans. Cool slightly, then cover and refrigerate for at least 4 hours or overnight. And this makes 8 to 10 servings. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 4 hours and 15 minutes. Another side dish from Sandra Lee, maple mashed sweet potatoes. We need 2 29-ounce cans of cut sweet potatoes, 1/4 cup butter cut into pieces, 1/4 cup pure maple syrup, 1 teaspoon pumpkin pie spice, salt and ground black pepper, chopped toasted pecans, and additional maple syrup, optional. Drain sweet potatoes and place the potatoes in a large microwave-safe bowl. Cover and microwave on high 100% power for 5 minutes and drain well. Stir in butter, maple syrup, and pumpkin pie spice. Use a potato masher to mash the sweet potatoes. Season to taste with salt and pepper. If using, sprinkle with chopped toasted pecans and drizzle with additional maple syrup. This makes 12 servings, active time 20 minutes, and the total time is as well. From Woman's World, cranberry crumb bars. They're a pretty looking bar cookie. We need 1.5 cups all-purpose flour, 1.5 cups rolled oats, 1 cup packed light brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 3/4 cup unsalted butter melted and cooled slightly, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, and 2 cups cranberry sauce. Heat oven to 375. Line 8-inch square baking pan with parchment paper so that it hangs over two sides. In a large bowl, whisk together flour, oats, sugar, cinnamon, baking powder, and salt. Add butter and vanilla to the flour mixture. Stir until butter is incorporated and dough begins to clump together. Press 2/3 of the mixture into the bottom of the prepared pan, spreading into an even layer. Bake the base layer for 10 minutes and remove from the oven. Spoon cranberry sauce on base, then spread into an even layer. Cranberry sauce will sink slightly into the base since it's warm. Sprinkle pieces of remaining crumb mixture on top. Bake the bars until the top crumb mixture is set. Golden and set, 25 to 30 minutes. Remove bars from the oven. Cool completely in pan before slicing. And this active time, 15 minutes. Total time is 2 hours, and it makes 9 servings. From Woman's World, Sandra Lee's Honey Orange Gingerbread. Delicious aromas will waft through your home as Sandra's fragrant mini loaves bake up. We need a 14.5-ounce package of gingerbread cake and cookie mix, such as Betty Crocker, 1 cup lukewarm water, 2 teaspoons grated orange zest, 3 tablespoons orange juice, 1 tablespoon honey, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1 large egg, 1.5 cups confectioner's sugar sifted, 1/2 to 1 tablespoon whole milk. White sanding sugar, optional. Heat oven to 350. Lightly coat bottoms of 3 5.5-inch loaf pans with baking spray with flour. in, I guess it means lightly coat. Yeah, so baking spray with flour. You can buy it already with the flour in it. There we go. In a medium bowl, combine gingerbread mix, water, orange zest, 2 tablespoons orange juice, honey, vanilla, and egg. Using a fork, stir for 2 minutes or until well blended. Divide batter evenly among the prepared pans. Bake for 25 minutes or until a wooden pick inserted in the center comes out clean. Cool in pans for 5 minutes on a wire rack. Turn out of pans onto a rack and cool completely. In a medium bowl, combine confectioner's sugar, remaining 1 tablespoon orange juice, and enough milk to create a thick glaze, stirring until smooth. Spoon over the cooled gingerbread loaves. Sprinkle with sanding sugar if desired. Let stand for an hour until the glaze is set. Using a serrated knife, you can cut into 1/2-inch thick slices. Now, this makes 18 servings, so that would be 6 slices each of the 3 loaves. Active time, 25 minutes, and total time, 2 hours. And from Woman's World, take a mini vacation at home. Sip a tasty, spicy cocktail inspired by the nearby Sweet Grass Grill in Tarrytown, New York, and set up with the iconic short story set in Sleepy Hollow, New York. It's the Bloody Mary. We need 32 ounces of vegetable juice, 1 cup of vodka, 3 tablespoons Worcestershire sauce, 3 tablespoons lemon juice, 2 teaspoons celery salt, 1 teaspoon black pepper. Mix all ingredients in a pitcher. Pour into ice-filled glasses rimmed with lemon juice and salt, then garnish with olives and celery sticks. And this serves 8. And The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. In this eerie classic, schoolteacher Ichabod Crane learns the legend of a headless rider is no mere folktale when a shadowy figure stalks him through haunted woods. Yikes, right? And from Woman's World, Blood Orange Negroni. This beloved Italian gin-based cocktail is believed to have originated in Florence, Italy in 1919. We need 1 orange, ice cubes, 12 ounces of gin, 6 ounces of Campari, 6 ounces sweet Rosso vermouth, and 16 ounces chilled blood orange juice. Place 6 lowball glasses or tumblers in the freezer for 30 minutes. While the glasses chill, halve the orange and cut into thin slices. Once glasses are chilled, fill tumblers with orange slices and ice cubes and set aside. Combine gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth in a pitcher. Stir till well blended. Add the blood orange juice and stir to combine. Divide the mixture among glasses and serve immediately. For a variation, you can make it sparkling. Finish each cocktail with 2 ounces of chilled Prosecco or sparkling blood orange drink, such as San Pellegrino Aranciata Rosso. This makes 6. 5 minutes active time. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Join us next time. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. This content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired and available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments, 919-832-5138. See ya!